예, 오늘 말씀의 제목은 찬마음입니다. 성경 봉독은 마산만민교회 선교회장 신미은.
Me and Shin will come and read a passage for you. The passage reading is Hebrews 10:22. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 8,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, including the United States, Canada, Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Brazil, Bolivia, Uruguay, Argentina, Chile,
Malaysia, Indonesia, Nepal,
Japan,
Indo,
Mongolia,
Sri Lanka, Pakistan,
China, Taiwan,
Kazakhstan,
Thailand,
Israel,
Vietnam, Philippines,
Palestine,
Malaysia,
Egypt,
Indonesia,
Sudan,
Nepal,
Ethiopia,
India,
Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda,
Sri Lanka, Pakistan,
Burundi,
Kazakhstan,
Tanzania,
Israel,
Congo,
Palestine,
Gabon,
Egypt,
Angola,
Sudan, Swaziland, Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, Tanzania,
Liberia,
Congo, Gabon, Angola,
Ghana,
Botswana,
Nigeria,
Swaziland, South Africa,
Burkina
Faso, Liberia, Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, Nigeria, the United Kingdom, Ireland, France, Belgium, Holland, Germany, Italy, Greece, Russia, Sweden, Estonia, Belarus, Ukraine, Dagestan, and local sanctuary members.
지성전 성도 여러분, 전 세계 인터넷을 통해
예배드리는 모든 성도 여러분,
GCN 시청자 여러분, 그리고 만민TV 시청자 여러분, 이 시간은 2009년도 청년 성교의 헌신 예배로 드립니다. 헌신 예배를 드릴 수 있도록 인도해 주신 아버지 하나님께 모든 감사와 영광을 돌립니다. 또한 마음과 뜻과 정성을
준비해 주신
모든 헌신자 여러분께도 감사를 드립니다. 사랑하는 헌신자 여러분, 아버지 하나님께서는 청년 성교 헌신 예배 참마음이라는 제목의 말씀을 주셨습니다. 우리 청년 성교회만 한번 제목을 따라해 보시겠습니다. 참마음. 거짓된 마음.
False heart.
예, 따라하시라니까요. 거짓된 마음.
Please repeat.
참 마음.
True heart.
아버지 하나님께서는 여러분이 바로 이 참 마음을 갖기 원하십니다. 잠언 4장 23절에는 무릇 지킬 만한 것보다 더욱 내 마음을 지키라.
For from it,
생명의 근원이 예수 남이니라 했죠.
즉
내 마음을 지켜야.
We have to keep
생명의 근원이 마음에서 난다.
Because
내가 마음에서
거룩하게
성결되게 악은 모양이라도
from
버리고
our heart we can cast
예진이 버리고 진리로 우리 주님 마음 닮아갈 때 바로 그것이
Lord,
영의 마음 우리 주님 마음
and this way
그럴
we can
때
have
바로
God
여기에서
Lord,
생명의 근원 즉 우리 구원 받을 수 있는 또 영생으로
하시는
다 마음인 거죠.
From this flows
생명의 구원은 이에서 남다고 말씀합니다. 사람의 마음은 크게 세 가지로 구분할 수 있습니다. 비진리의 까만 마음과 까만 마음
dark heart.
까만 게 뭔지 아시죠?
What is
그러니까
dark.
하나님이 까만 거 싫다고 하시는데 남성도님은 그냥 정장이 검은 옷이라 할 수 없이
men,
이렇게 권색을 입는데
men's suit is dark, and
when
I don't really understand when women wear some dark dresses, there are so many bright colors. The white heart of the truth, which is the opposite of dark heart of untruth, the opposite of white clothes is dark. Black clothes.
그리고 각 사람이 선의 기준을 나름대로 잡아 놓은 양심이 있습니다. 사람마다 양심의 기준이 달라서 어떤 사람의 양심은 선하지만 어떤 사람의 양심은 악하기도 하지요. 그러면 비진리의 까만 마음과 진리의 하얀 마음 그리고 양심 중에서 하나님께서 원하시는 참 마음은 무엇일까요? 네, 바로 진리의 하얀 마음이지요. 따라서 참 마음이 되려면 heart, 먼저는 비진리의 까만 마음을 버려야 합니다. 또한 양심의
also,
기준도 자기 복의 선이 아닌 온전한 하나님의 말씀이 되어야 하지요.
Just goodness in our own sight, but the word of God. So there is righteousness in the sight of God. Not righteousness in the sight of man, but in the sight of God. Then in the book of Exodus says, I will not lay any of the diseases that were inflicted upon Egypt. The righteousness of men are made by themselves, so they are not really correct. And we have to break down these. Even some of those who came from other countries, they have to break down their own righteousness. What they think is right, that has to be broken down. So they can really have, they can really recognize the righteousness of God, so they can be healthy in spirit and body. They can be loved by God. A true heart has no blemish or spot in it, but it is a pure and clean heart that is filled with only the truth and goodness. Let me repeat, a true heart has no blemish or spot in it, but it is a pure and clean heart that is filled with only the truth and goodness. To the extent that we have this true heart, we can have spiritual faith from above. We can also take hold of a better heavenly dwelling place. Actually, I have explained these things so many times. But even if I explain them many times, you cannot have true hearts if you just hear and forget about what you hear. Your hope for heaven will be weaker and it will be more difficult to receive God-given blessings. But rather, due to the tests of the enemy devil and Satan, which work through the dark heart of untruth, you will have more sorrow and pain in life. As you see, because of sins of husband, some wives become sick. They fall ill. As God explained before, because of the connection, spiritual connection, the wives get sick. They are diseased. Because of the parents, some children, or because of children, some parents become diseased because they are spiritually connected with each other. Also, parents and children are one. They are connected. Because of the sons of parents, sometimes it happens. Children may get diseased, or because of children, in case of grown-up children, not little children, but grown-up children, because of them, the parents have to suffer. And because of sins of wife, the husband has to suffer, or vice versa. Sometimes they even die. Of course, in case of they die, because they can be saved because they were sick, not because of themselves, but because of their spouse. You will have more sorrow and pain in life because of the tests of the enemy devil and Satan. Therefore, I urge you to really try to have true hearts from this moment on. I urge you to accept with your heart this message that I preach so you can have change in life. So we can, before we begin the construction of Canaan Sanctuary, I hope we will change more quickly and let us become completely sanctified before we go into Canaan Sanctuary so we can receive blessings in full scale. I pray in the name of the Lord that you members of the Young Adults Mission as a whole will pray more fervently and receive more strength beginning with this devotional service. Dear devotees and other members, now, how can we have true hearts? First, we should discern between good and evil. Namely, we have to discern between the spirit and flesh. You can do this only if you just remember the messages that are preached here. But sometimes I hear that after committing a sin, some of you say that you didn't know it was such a great sin. It means those people did not remember the many messages that they heard. For example, since the opening of the church, I have been emphasizing that a man and a woman should not ride a car alone, for it is the command of God. Unrighteousness will sprout if you do. I think it was 1985, after the opening of church, that is when God gave this word. You church members should not ride a car, a man and woman should not ride a car alone. Of course, husband and wife are okay. They are, or the family is okay. Not even cousins. Even if you've attended this church just for a year, you must have heard this. But after disobeying, people give some following excuses. I gave her a ride because it was late at night and dangerous. We had the same destination, so we wanted to save the taxi fare. Or, I rode in the car with him because he was trustworthy. They say that it was for the other person or because they had a very good reason for it. But anything that is against the will of God cannot be goodness. You should realize that it is evil to disobey the word of God in any case. Dear devotees, I explained in detail, especially through the spiritual love chapter, so you could discern between spiritual love and fleshly love. I taught you how meaningless fleshly love is and what spiritual love really is. But if you did not make the messages completely yours, you cannot discern between spirit and flesh when you are in some real-life situations. When another person of opposite sex seems to be giving you spiritual love, you easily open your hearts. Everybody pretends it to be spiritual love when they first, but probably men's and women's mission service, they men's and women's mission members, they must have experience. It doesn't last long. And how can you date somebody? You cannot date anybody in that case. Then you can date according to the word of God. You don't have to give your body. You just date that person and get married, and then you can do whatever you want. After getting married, you cannot divorce in the Lord or anything. You cannot betray. But before marriage, most cases, they just forsake the other person, betray the other person. They cheat on that your date. And they don't, even though they don't want to cheat, they don't know their heart. After some time, they come to dislike the other person. They want somebody else. They like somebody more. That is fleshly love. So if you date according to the word of God, it doesn't really matter. And you can get married. Then you don't have to commit any sin. So you open your hearts easily because they seem to be giving spiritual love. For example, he sends you Bible verses in text message every day. Also, he sends you some spiritual encouragement every day in text messages. They are very kind. They send you messages. Oh, there is a meeting of mission. Even though they are not small group leader or some other leaders, they just become kind. They just act kindly. But this is not done within the order of the organization to take care of the souls. Still, you think that that person is offering you spiritual love and caring. But if you have the word of God in you as life, you can sense the fleshly intention in it, no matter how much the other person covers it as something spiritual. You are not cheated by the masking of the intent, so you will not let the relationship continue anymore. But those who do not have the word in them cannot really discern here between spirit and flesh. They may think that the person is a spiritual person, put their mind at ease, and respond. When they receive a text message and reply, they develop a closer relationship to each other. Later on, when the relationship becomes more intimate, actual intentions are shown. The person was pretending to be giving spiritual care and love, but the real intent was fleshly. Now, that person does not care for you, and even uses you for his or her benefit. They might even do the things that are against the truth in the name of love. Galatians chapter 3 verse 3 talks about this kind of case, saying, "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" There are sometimes people who begin with spirit and end up by flesh. Some performing arts teams, some choir members, some Nisi orchestra. And it's so heartbreaking. They should be praising God by the Holy Spirit. They should be playing, and they are full of spirit in the beginning, but later they end up in flesh. Let me read again, Galatians 3:3. "Are you so foolish? It is something so foolish because it's the way of death. Going the way of darkness, hell, so it is foolish. Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" I hope none of you will be caught in the above example. I urge you to keep these messages in your mind and be able to discern between good and evil, and spirit and flesh, so you will always choose goodness and spirit. Dear devotees, to have true hearts, secondly, we have to realize the evil in our hearts. We should be finding out our own evil in our hearts, but some people, even after 10 years, they don't find out any evil in their heart. Even deacons, senior deaconesses, they cannot find the evil in their hearts for 10, 15 years, even among the elders. So by the message, by the word of God, they have to find themselves, but they just apply the message to other people, not themselves. And since the day of blessing, some people are repenting this way. They've been Christians for a long time, but they didn't know they were evil. They didn't know they had so much evil in them. So even after listening to so many messages, they didn't keep any messages because they thought it was for other people, not themselves. But since the day of blessing, they were realizing that they were so evil according to the truth. One by one, they could realize, and they realized they were passing judgment and condemnation, and they were envious and jealous, and they hated others, and they were arrogant. They could find out so many things, and they are having a hard time because they didn't know. But now they realize. So that's why now they realize, that's why they couldn't receive any answers to their prayers. They thought they were leading a good Christian life, but they couldn't receive any answers to prayers. And because they were full of evil of mind in them, they couldn't receive any answers. That's what they confess now, and I'm very sorry about it. I don't really even understand them, but my actual Christian life began attending the first revival meeting after I accepted the Lord on April 17th, 1974. I was just attending church, but at that time I was still drinking and smoking because I didn't know it was not good. But soon we had this test, we had some incidents with my wife, and I was attending church, but I didn't know anything. But in October, from the first revival meeting I attended through the messages preached there, I realized the word of God, what sin is. We have to cast away this and that, and I had to pray. Then I had to attend the dawn prayer meetings. I had to give tithes, and I had to keep the Sabbath, the Sunday. And I had to quit smoking and drinking. I was listening to these from the speaker. And no matter how sick I was, we could rely on God completely. And at the speaker at that time, his wife or he himself had something around his neck, and he prayed to God, praising God and praying all night, asking God to heal it, not going to the hospital. And finally, he received the healing. And when we are sick, God's children, we have to rely on God. We have to give it to God. So according to our faith, God will heal us, work for us. And so I realized, I took it as my own. And since then, I've never changed my mind. I've never been sick or anything, but of course, sometimes there were some refining trials of God, but I just left everything to God with faith. And in the Bible, while reading the Bible, I realized immediately, do not steal. Then I think about it. When did I steal? Then since maybe in high school, in a field trip, I stole something. And I, the persimmon actually, and I was a thief. Do not lie. I thought I didn't lie, but I tried to find out what telling a lie really is. Maybe unconsciously I was lying or something. I was trying to find it out, and I could find something. So I repented. Why can't we find the evil in us? If somebody is well off, did we rejoice together? If somebody else is well off, if the neighboring shop has more customers than ours, than your own, did you rejoice or did you dislike it? I could check. If I didn't like it, then it means I had evil mind. And if the other shop is selling well, it is something good, I should be happy for it, and I can ask God to give him blessings too. So there is no reason to hate that shop or hate that person. And even after leading a Christian life for such a long time, and they can't find any evil in them, and it means they wasted such a long time. In the first, there's a person who comes to greet me who is working for departments, working in a department store, comes to greet me regularly, and she was the last in her department store, so I was shocked because she received the blessings, she received the prayers and everything, prayers for blessings. But why is she the last? And God let me hear the news immediately through somebody. I don't know if she's here, but she went to that person went to that shop, and that shop had things, commodities, that colors and styles, and it wasn't good at all. And that person didn't like the things in that shop at all. So she was thinking that maybe customers will not buy these things. So thankfully, God let me hear this immediately, right after the... So that was the reason why she was the last. The customers have to like it. They check all the shops and they will buy what is the best for them. Because the goods there are not pretty. So, if she's here attending this service, she'll understand, and maybe she can, I hope she'll receive blessings. There are reasons for any kind of problem.
사업하는 것도 그렇고. 네, 그래서 둘째로 자신의 마음에 있는 악을 발견해야 합니다.
So secondly, we have to find evil in our hearts.
구분했다면 이제는 자기 자신.
The first step is to discern between good and evil, and then we have to realize how much evil we have in us.
앞서 두 가지 예를 말씀드렸는데 선과 악을 구분 못한.
I gave you an example above, and the most fundamental reason why you cannot discern between good and evil is because you also have evil in your mind. You have to realize that you also have evil in your heart with which you can forsake the will of God for your own benefit. It's the same when you accept the temptation of another person. It's because you have the same kind of fleshly heart in you. You have to realize this and acknowledge it. In the church, we have fellowship with brothers and sisters. And as in the book of Acts, all fellowship has to be in the love of God, sharing the grace and faith. This fellowship is for salvation. It's not fellowship for committing sins, going the way of destruction. You can have that fellowship in the world, not in the church. It's not supposed to be happening in the church because the church is bought by the precious blood of the Lord. And our fellowship has to be eternal life. But rather, if you are destroying life, become foolish and commit sins, going the way of darkness, this kind of fellowship shouldn't be happening in the church. Same with lending and borrowing money among the brothers. If you just put the blame on the other person and complain about their person, you cannot either change or improve yourself. You cannot have the true heart that God desires you to have. The evil in the heart will come out as words and action. Matthew 12:35 says, "The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil." Therefore, you can realize the evil in your heart in your everyday life. When you say or do something that is not good, you should be able to realize it yourself. For example, don't you dislike a particular person's words and actions? When you see him, does he seem to be boasting too much? Or, concerning a person who is recognized by others, do you see his shortcomings more than others? For example, those who always tell a lie all the time, they don't think they are lying. Sometimes I say, "Why are you telling a lie?" Then they say, "What lie did I say? Did I tell you? What did I lie about? I didn't tell any lie." And even though I say you told a lie, they just deny it right away. They have to accept it and think about it, because they are lying all the time in their everyday life and they don't even know it. There are quite a few of you, even now, among you people here. I always talk about irrelevant answers. When I ask you something, it's really difficult to find anybody who answers anything. So, if I find somebody who does that, I will keep that person in mind. Oh, is he or she will have has good chance of going into spirit. So when I ask, they just give irrelevant answers. Many people, even today, they just give, they don't give clear, correct answers. And sometimes, because when the conversation goes on like that, then the Deacon Isaac Lee will point it out, "Just answer the question." They don't even know they are giving irrelevant answers. Or concerning a person who is recognized by others, do you see his shortcomings more than others? In these cases, you should realize that you have so much envy and jealousy. You should also realize that you have pride and arrogance in you, and you want to boast of yourself as well. Luke 6:42 says, "Or how can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? Log and speck. Speck is such a small thing, and log is such a big thing. And you don't even see the log in your own eye, and you point out the speck in your brother's eye. Just think about those who are demonstrating in this country, those who always criticize others. They don't see the log in their own eyes, and they are pointing out the specks in other people. And they have so much evil in themselves too. They are stealing too, and when other people do something, they talk about it so greatly. They say they are disappointed so much or something. Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your own eye when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye. You hypocrite. These people are hypocrites. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. If you take out the log in your own eyes, then you'll have clear vision. You'll have clear vision, which is spiritual sight, so you can see spiritually, not with fleshly sight. You'll not have any prejudice, but you will see only with the spiritual sight. In case of fleshly eyes, if you wear sunglasses, blue sunglasses or yellow or red, then you will see only blue, yellow or red. But in spiritual sight, it doesn't matter. It just looks at the actual thing as it is. White is white and black is black. And if you are wearing sunglasses, you may see black as blue or something, according to your own evil. That is why, after taking out the log, we can see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Only those who go into spirit can point out something. Only those who go into spirit, who have gone into spirit, because they can see clearly, without any evil. Only with goodness they see, and they can point out with love and goodness. If you see the specks of other people, you should check whether you have evil like the log in you. And you have to deeply realize how much God hates such evil. You should be able to feel from the depth of your heart how filthy and awful the fleshly heart is. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else." The heart is more deceitful than all else. Jesus also said in Matthew 15:19-20, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders." For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. If we have these things, it means we have dirty and defiled heart. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. If you don't have it in our mind, we will not have any evil thoughts. We won't hate anybody if you don't have it in our heart. Because everything comes out from our heart. Evil thoughts, murders, as in the morning I explained, to hate somebody is murder, not just physical killing. Of course, physical killing is murder. And also, abortion is a murder. And to hate is a murder. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. And if you have these things in you, God says you're defiled. As he said, you should also realize for yourself that evil and flesh are so unclean. And you have to hate it from your heart. Like the praise song that is sung by the leaders in the lyrics. There are some people who are so startled just to see a cockroach. But your heart is hundreds or even thousands of times more unclean than cockroaches. Just think about the insect or animal that you hate the most. What is it? Just think about it. Just, what is it that you dislike the most? I hate worms the most. Of course, I hate snakes the most. And because worms look like snakes, I hate them. And I hate this fish that looks like snake too. Sometimes some church members, they gave them to me because they didn't know, but I never ate them. Because I hate snakes, I hate anything that looks like snakes. Before, I didn't dislike eel or other fishes. I ate them, but after accepting God, I came to dislike anything that looks like a snake. So did you think about that insect that you dislike the most? And just think that that insect is on your body, is living in your clothes, is living with you, sleeping together. And how would you feel? You'll hate it so much. Can you sleep? Because of your feeling, you want to just get rid of it quickly. As soon as possible, you want to take a bath or something. And this evil in the heart is hundreds or even thousands of times more unclean than these insects. And because you don't realize this, you commit sins. Why can't you realize this? Young people, why can't you realize this? Insects, you can just get rid of them. But the heart, the evil in the heart, you cannot just throw it away. Right? If you hate somebody, you have a hard time hating that person, and also that person will suffer because of that hatred coming out from you. You hate each other, and you have a hard time. In case of insects, you can just cast them out. So these things are so unclean, and because you don't realize it, that is problematic. You have them in your heart. You just keep them. Before, we had some worms living in our bodies, which is more than 20 centimeters. And those worms are so thick, even thicker than chopsticks. And everybody had those worms. So twice a year, the government gave us the medicines. And in the bathroom, we could see just many of them, several of them in the bathroom. And it's not all, just a part of them. And after that, some people, the worms will come out from the mouth in a bundle. Those worms will come out in a bundle from their mouth. Is it unbelievable, young people? But whether it's true, shall we ask the elderly people here? If it's true, please raise your hands. I'm just telling the truth. And such big worms, they were living in our intestines long ago. And this nowadays, I wonder maybe whether in the United States also they had the same thing. Dr. Fischerberg is still young, so he didn't know. I'm talking about 50 or 60 years ago, maybe 40 years ago. Now, even Korea doesn't have such worms. And even though they are in the intestines, we know it, but we cannot see it, so we feel okay. It's okay with us. Insects outside, we feel not good, but because we cannot see them, so sometimes we have a stomach ache because we have too many of those worms. And only because we don't see them, we think it's not dirty. We have to consider it very dirty. Evil is even filthier than body waste with such a foul smell. If you just realize this, you will be able to cast away evil as soon as you find it in your heart. Who likes body waste and who would want to hold and keep it? But there is a being that likes this evil and filth. It is the enemy devil and Satan. But there are some people who like it too. In Africa, there are cleaners that eat only decaying flesh, only dead bodies, like some eagles or some hyenas. They take away from other animals, other people, other animals. They take away. They even sometimes take away from lions. There are some cleaners like that, but when we commit sins and do evil, and if we have evil in us, sometimes, and there is a thing, there's a being that likes it so much. It is the enemy devil and Satan. Just as flies lay their eggs in dirty places, the enemy devil and Satan looks for people with evil hearts. They incite the evil heart of man to commit sins in an attempt to drag them to the death that's hell. Because God the Father knows this, He not only dislikes evil, but He abhors it so much. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19 says, "There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to Him." God hates all sins, but there are some abominations to Him. There are six, seven things. Haughty eyes, if you have haughty eyes, you cannot find yourself. You cannot realize yourself. If somebody does something wrong, then they look at that person like that, and they don't even know. Why are you so haughty? Why are you so arrogant? They don't even know. Why am I arrogant? Cutting in somebody else's words. It is also haughtiness. It is arrogance. If you are not arrogant, you listen until the end. Can you cut in when your boss is talking? You cannot do that. If you are cutting in when your boss is speaking, it is very haughty. Sometimes I have to cut in when you are talking because sometimes I have these packed schedules and I cannot sometimes listen to the end. I cannot meet the other people in the next meetings. So I have to stop them. But in conversation, you shouldn't do that. Haughty eyes and a lying tongue, those are lying all the time. But you can change them if you really make up your mind. Even though you listen to the messages all the time, elders, aren't you teaching or your children or grandchildren to tell a lie when you are trying to sleep on Saturday and there is a telephone ringing and the children, they block, they cover this telephone. It means you are teaching them lies. They can just hear. They can just deliver the message. They'll say, Dad, there's a telephone call for you. If they block the telephone, cover the telephone to ask you first, Dad, is some this and this person? Should I say you're away, you're out of house? Because you tell them, you teach them to lie. And hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans. And young people, please do not make any wicked plans. Please do not send those text messages, the kind of messages devising those wicked plans, and it'll only destroy you. A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, false witness who tells lies, we've seen in 99. They were saying, they were telling all lies on TV, and I didn't watch them, but some people delivered what they had seen to me. They were telling flat lies. And one who spreads strife among brothers, we have to be peacemakers, and they alienate people from each other. And they spread strife. And if you join them, you will create more strifes. And you will fall into more and more darkness, being controlled by Satan more and more. I hope you will also try to find out evil in you and hate evil. Dear devotees, to have a true heart, thirdly, you have to pray until you root out the evil you've found. If you understand how much God hates evil and how dirty evil is, you will naturally want to get rid of it. You won't be able to tolerate such evil to remain in your heart. It's not difficult to cast off evil. It's because the process is not your responsibility, but is taken care of by God. The sinful nature that is combined with the body of man and the roots of evil in the heart cannot be gotten rid of by man's ability or wisdom. Of course, we do have to do our part to cast it off. When we do our part, we can pull out the evil by the grace and strength of God and the help of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it by our own strength. Otherwise, God didn't have to send us the Holy Spirit. Because we cannot do it ourselves, God sent us the Holy Spirit. And with the help of the Holy Spirit and with our own effort, by praying hard and by the help of the Holy Spirit and the grace and strength of God, we can cast them away and pull them out. In the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Spirit, so even though they had evil, they couldn't just get rid of them by their own effort. That's why God, unless they showed their sins in action, if they had the things of the flesh in their mind, their sinful nature in their mind, God didn't consider them sins. Only when they were realized in action, they were considered sins, so they could give the sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins. But it was not perfect, because they didn't pull out the evil from their heart. But because it was not the time of Holy Spirit, that was how God let them continue. God understood them. But in the era of the Holy Spirit helps us so we can cast away all kinds of evil from our heart. So how thankful this is. That is why we have to cling to God and pray to Him earnestly. We have to ask for the grace and the strength of God. Also, we have to ask for the help of the Holy Spirit, especially to receive the fiery baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of fire is the strength of God coming down on those who have received the Holy Spirit. It burns not only germs and viruses, but also sinful natures. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29 says, "For God is a consuming fire." To receive this consuming fire is to receive the baptism of fire. It is only by this fire of the Holy Spirit that the sinful nature that is combined with man's body can be burned. Then, how can we receive this baptism of fire? First, we must not have any wall of sin between God and us. And then when we earnestly cry out in prayer, the fullness of the Spirit comes upon us. If you are happy, you pray fervently. And if you are not happy tomorrow, you just skip prayer. Not like that, but you continue to pray, following your habit. Anyone can receive the baptism of fire if he asks for it, being full of the Holy Spirit. However, simply put, if your manner of praying is too polished, it may be difficult to receive the fullness or the fire of the Holy Spirit. Just think about it. When our Lord prayed, when we kneel down like our Lord, following the habit, with all our strength, if we pray with all our strength, that's what the Lord did. So he was sweating so hard, so profusely sweating. And Gethsemane, at that time, it would be only maybe 15 degrees Celsius in April, even as low as 10 degrees Celsius. When we went there last time, in April, God gave us a very good weather from our arrival until departure. God gave us a very cool weather, and at that time at night it was about 10 degrees Celsius. And even in that weather, in that temperature, he was sweating profusely, and his sweat became like drops of blood. We have to pray like that. I'm not saying you have to actually bleed, but I try to do it, try to do the same, but I sweated a lot, but I couldn't bleed. But just think about it. If you just sit down quietly, gently, softly, pray to God, Father God, how can you be full of Spirit? And soon, you do this, and you have idle thoughts. That's why God tells us to cry out in prayer, both in Old and New Testaments. There are meanings in it. There are many other meanings too, but if you just meditate quietly, pray, then it looks like they have deep faith. No, our Lord, disciples, apostles, prophets, they cried out in prayer. Is that because they are not gentle? So anyone can receive the baptism of fire if he asks for it, being full of the Spirit. You have to cry out earnestly with all your heart and mind and strength. You can receive the fire when you pray so fervently to break into sweat. If you receive the baptism of fire, your whole body becomes hot and you will feel so light that you could soar into the sky. Dr. Fishberg from the United States, he'll be commissioned as a missionary today. And he's so full of Spirit, and he's drunk by the Spirit. So if I just say something, some couple of words that is filling Spirit, then he will be like so drunk, you know, like in the book of Acts, they were full of Spirit, they were like drunkards or something. So people thought they were drunk. So when he was talking to me, some people, they have They have to hold his hand so he will not fall because he's so full of spirit. Even in the morning, he didn't even have breakfast and came. He wanted to see me. So because it's also the Sabbath, he didn't want to buy anything in the hotel. He didn't eat anything for the breakfast. But I told him to have dinner at in the hotel because he was so full of spirit. He felt so light and he feels like flying into the sky. Just say, maybe you can ask him yourself. If you are so, just raise your hands. His face, just talking to him a little bit, his face will turn reddish because he's so full of spirit. You always have chances to receive the fire of the Holy Spirit. You can receive it in daily Daniel prayer meetings and in the monthly healing sessions in Friday online service. Also, you can receive it while singing praises or in other prayer meetings. God gives you the baptism of fire when you sing praises, putting all your heart in the lyrics. When you receive the baptism of fire, tiredness will go away, germs will be burned, and even sinful natures will be burned up. There are some people who came here for fatigue, and all these things will go away. This way you can cast away things of the flesh and works of the flesh which are difficult for you alone to cast away. For example, it is very difficult to quit smoking and drinking just with human willpower. But you can quit them naturally if you receive the baptism of fire. As I testified in the morning service, in the revival meeting, I repented every session. According to the message preached, everything was fulfilled. I just cast them away. I quit things. And within the week, within that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, by Friday morning, I finished everything. I quit everything and I began to attend dawn prayer meetings and kept the Sabbath and began to give full tithes and all the time in Wednesday service, Friday, so I began to give offerings to God. And that didn't change until now because I was taught that way. And I'm so thankful. The speaker is so lovely now. I don't remember other people, but I remember his name. Pastor Byung-ho Kim, because I was received so much grace from his messages. And I kept all the words that he taught. It's because your desire to smoke and drink will just disappear. Also, if you try to smoke, you will feel sick to your stomach. If you receive the baptism of fire in this way, your desire to commit sins, which is the fleshly desire, will disappear, and it'll be easy to live by the Word of God. It'll be easy. But it doesn't mean all your fleshly desires will be burned up just by one baptism of fire. It'll be good, but it cannot be done just by one time baptism of fire. But if you receive the baptism of fire, you won't have any adulterous mind, or you won't have any desire to commit works of flesh, because the fire, baptism of fire, being full of the Holy Spirit, then you will be so much happier than having those pleasures. And you don't want to take such pleasures of the world because you are so happy, because your heart is filled with happiness. So you don't even want to think about those things. Those are perishable things. The sinful natures are burned up whenever we receive the fire of the Holy Spirit, and they will be weaker and weaker. So the fleshly desires will also be weaker. In this situation, if you return to doing the worldly things again, then the fleshly desires that have become weak will gain strength again, and the fullness of the Holy Spirit will cool down. So that's why you should not lose the first love. Therefore, until you cast off all forms of evil, you have to continually receive the fullness and fire of the Holy Spirit. When you pull out the weeds, they will grow up again if you leave the roots. In much the same way, you cannot get rid of all sinful natures just by one-time repentance. You have to pull out the original roots of sinful natures. You have to pull the roots out so they cannot grow again. Otherwise, it's the same with our sinful natures. Even if you cast them away, it'll grow up again. So we have to pull them, root it out. Until the root is completely taken out, we have to pray. We have to pray today, tomorrow, and again, and again. You have to check yourself and pray until you are sure that you have completely rooted them out. If you are full of the Spirit, you will receive the fire when you pray. When you receive the fire, your sinful natures will gradually disappear. Then you will become increasingly full of the Spirit. If this good circle goes on, it doesn't take too much time to become sanctified. One thing you have to remember, just one-time baptism of fire will not burn up all sinful natures. That is why you have to continually pray. And when you pray, you shouldn't just pray timidly, but you have to cry out with all your heart and mind. In this way, you must have the burning flame of the Holy Spirit in your heart all the time. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters, dear devotees, in this sermon, I talk to you about the three steps to have a true heart. First, we should discern between good and evil. And second, we have to find the evil in our heart. We have to understand what good and evil is. We have to discern between what good and evil is. What is righteousness in our sight and what is righteousness in God's sight? Even though we are living a righteous life in our sight, if God says no, it means no. Even those who can live even without the law, if God says he is evil, he is evil. So we have to be able to discern between good and evil. What is really good and evil? And second, we have to find the evil in our heart. Third and last, we have to continually pray until we cast away the evil found. We have to pull out, until we pull out the evil, root of the evil, we have to pray. If that particular sinful nature is pulled out from the root completely, then you don't have to pray for it, pray about it anymore. For one thing, I prayed for 3 years when I was a new believer to pull it out completely. In most things, I just cast away quite relatively easily, but I had one thing in my heart that lasted for 3 years. These three steps are the most basic ways to become sanctified. But this is the only way you can pull out evil in your heart. Otherwise, evil will always remain in you, and you and the evil will be together as one body. You will be one with the evil which God the Father hates so much, and which is so harmful and filthy. But if you find the evil in your heart, earnestly ask for the grace and strength of God and receive the help of the Holy Spirit to remove it, we'll be able to pull out your evil. Then you'll become increasingly full of goodness and no longer be one with evil. Finally, you'll be able to have the true hearts that God wants you to have. You've heard about true heart many times. And where is the true heart in the Bible that is other than this reading passage? It's in the book of Hebrews. If you have true heart, if you have true heart, we'll have perfect faith. When we have true heart, we'll have perfect faith. Only then will perfect faith be given. That is why, as in the Gospel of Mark, these signs will follow those who believe. And these signs will follow those who have this perfect faith because they have true heart. That is why these signs will follow them. And they can receive whatever they ask. And they can find anything they seek, and they will receive answers to whatever they ask in prayer. And the Bible is absolutely true. There is no falsehood whatsoever in the Bible. Ezekiel 36, verses 26 to 27 says, "Moreover, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, which is a heart of stone, the rigid heart, the stubborn heart that doesn't accept any gospel. Even though I preach like this, there are some people who don't even want to accept the messages. This kind of heart should be removed. And I'll give you a heart of flesh, which is soft heart. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes." So when the spirit comes into our heart, we can live by the word of God. Otherwise, it is not easy to cast away things of the flesh. I'm not saying it's absolutely impossible, but it is possible, because there were some people like Enoch, Moses, and Abraham, and Daniel, and his three friends. Even without the help of the Holy Spirit, they loved God so much, so they lived by the commandments of God and pulled out, cast away all forms of evil, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Now, I hope all the Young Adults Mission and other church members will consider God's word as your life and practice it. In doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will give great joy and comfort to God the Father, who has unsparingly given even His only begotten Son to us. Let us pray, thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Father God, we thank you for your grace and love. Let the Young Adults Mission members have true heart and offer you a truthful devotional service, and let them give them the strength to live by the word of God. Let them have true heart, and let them discern between good and evil, and let them find out the evil in their heart, and let them pray continually. Let them realize how much God hates this evil, how filthy this evil is, and let them pray continually until they pull them out completely, and let them receive the fire of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of fire. So let them all go into spirit and all spirit, and let all the members go into spirit in the same way. Father, bless them. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I pray for the sick persons. Please lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities and receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Father God, lay your hands on them. Give them your power, 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 and show your work transcending time and space. Father, bless all churches, branch churches, and local sanctuary members who are attending the service through satellite all over the country, and all children of God who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, all GCN and Mami TV viewing audiences, and there are many people who sent their prayer requests with their photos. Lay your hands on them. Reverend Myungho Chung in Kenya will have has a prayer request. Let the Walliso Mamin Church in Ethiopia be registered with the government. And Daniel has stomach pain. Go away, stomach pain, go away, and let him receive financial blessings. Reverend Guy Davids of Belgium will have a handkerchief crusade in a church in France, on May 10th, Sunday, they didn't preach with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Mayra Talavera from Nicaragua, her husband got into a traffic accident and underwent a surgery, let him recover quickly. Annie Vasquez from Nicaragua let her husband come back home and accept the Lord. Ludmila Petrovna from Ukraine wants spiritual and physical health, and Andrei from Ukraine has addiction to drugs for 13 years. Let him quit and let him be freed from this addiction. Bai Moya from neighboring country, she has a pain after delivery for 21 years. Be healed and be healthy. Yang Sujeon has cancer in the tongue. Son Bongyeon has uterine cancer. Yu Changbo has high blood pressure, cerebral apoplexy, weak kidneys, and Ho Wizu has had cerebral hemorrhage, paralysis on the left side, and headache. Let them recover, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. And Father God, lay your hands on all the church members, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit, all their intestines, organs, all germs and diseases go away. Light come, all darkness go away. Father God, give them prosperity throughout this week. Wherever your children may be, protect them with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, with your heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Protect all the church vehicles and vehicles of the church members. Protect them. Keep them. Keep the drivers. Let them make no mistakes while driving. And protect and keep all the overseas missionaries, pastors, and members in other countries. Protect them in all respects. Give them peace throughout this week. Father, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.